All right, we are going to be looking not at Acts 16, 16 through 40, but 16, 11 through 15. And then we're going to flip over to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, starting in verse 9. But I'll read the Acts verses first. All right, and this is, if you remember, Paul's journeying here through the Asia area over near Greece, and so this is kind of where he's picking up here. Verse 11, Acts 16. From Troas we put out to the sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Now over in Matthew 9, it says this. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love how my Bible here has sinners in quotation marks. I'm just imagining, what if you were one of those people and, you know, that's what your title was from then on out. You know, you were, hey, I was one of those sinners that Jesus ate with. Sorry, I'm just thinking out loud here. I should not do that. Anyway, all right. Last week we talked about how the way you present truth is just as important as the truth itself, because the point, you know, truth is great, but if it's not heard, if it's not received, then it's not going to go anywhere. It doesn't matter how great your truth is to share if no one listens to it. And unfortunately, in our time in our country, where once Christianity and our culture used to be more closely aligned and our values lined up and people were more naturally wanting to listen, I think it was a little easier to simply share about Christ, maybe, or it was a little easier to have events at church and do things and for people to just naturally want to come. But that's not the case as much anymore today. Sure, it is in a lot of cases still, and certainly in our part of the country, but times are a-changing, as they say. How do we gain an ear with folks who maybe don't want to listen at first? How do we get to know people when maybe it's a little harder these days? I've been thinking about this week, and I've been thinking about Katie. And for those of you that maybe don't know, Katie works for a nonprofit animal clinic, and she specifically works in the community cat program. Now, what is a community cat, you might ask? Well, it's a nicer way of saying like outdoor cats, or, you know, if you really want to get out there, feral cats. I don't really like that term. That's kind of scary. But so we call it community cats. And one of the things that she does is she traps them and gets them fixed, takes care of them, and then returns them back to their natural habitat. And another part of that that she does is she kind of gets to know and see what kind of cat they are. I mean, sometimes the cats that she brings in are pretty wild, and they won't have nothing to do with humans. But some other ones, actually, given a little time, given a little patience, given a little bit of willingness to maybe bleed a little bit when they scratch you and still come back, you'll actually find out that some of these cats warm up to you a little bit, you know? They're not so scary. They're not so feral, maybe, as it first seems. And if you don't believe us, I think Katie and I both have some scars to prove it, though. To prove it takes a little time and patience and faithfulness, really. Faithfulness to the cats to not simply say at first, okay, you're this wild animal that needs to stay away from me, but instead take that time to be with them and get to know this cat and see that, you know what, they're actually pretty friendly. And the point I'm getting at, though, is that you cannot judge them too quickly. It can be really easy to do that, and you have to be persistent with the cat and let it get used to you, and of course be willing to maybe suffer a little bit in the process. And you might discover in doing that that there's this really great relationship that can develop there. And, you know, I just think about how that applies to all of life, really. I mean, when I look at this text in Matthew, I'm just so amazed at what Jesus does here. You know, Jesus takes time and he creates a little space in his life for Matthew. And one of the things that first jumped out to me when I read this text was that, you know what Jesus, you know what he does? He has no prerequisites for inviting Matthew to follow him. No prerequisites. He sees him and he invites him to come follow him. The only thing that he asks is his actual willingness, Matthew's actual willingness to come and follow Jesus. And we all know what kind of person Matthew is. If you've been around church a while, you've heard about how tax collectors were looked down in this time. I mean, none of us are particularly thrilled about the IRS in our own day, but you can only imagine in this time with people that represented a occupying government, people that a lot of times took a little extra for themselves. This is someone who is kind of outcast, and Jesus invites him to follow him. And he doesn't ask him to pray a prayer first. He doesn't ask him to come change his life. He doesn't ask him to come to Bible class or to go through a membership class. He simply asks him to come and follow him and see what this teacher might be about. Basically what he says is, do you have a little divine curiosity to come follow me? And they don't go to church, you know, they don't go to a Bible study. Where do they go? They go to a party. They go to dinner. And I love that. They go out to eat and they have a good time because a lot of people come and join them, right? We have a lot of people show up. And Jesus and his disciples spend time with these people. And that's really all we get in this interaction. That's all we see. And one of the things that I gather from this interaction is that Jesus made them feel like they belonged with him before anything else. Before they had any agenda, before they had anything that he asked them to do, he simply made them feel like he belonged with him. And he didn't just tell them that he belonged, he showed it through his actions. He went out, he left, and he looked from where he was, and he traveled, and he saw Matthew, and he invited him to come do what he was doing. He lived among the people. And the only thing that we're told here is that he enjoyed a good party. I think many of us can recognize and enjoy a good party as well. And I imagine that he spent time listening and getting to know who Matthew was, not just this tax collector. Because so many people saw probably Matthew simply as a tax collector and not as Matthew. And he loved him without any expectations. And that's not something that everyone in this passage understands. The Pharisees, in the passage, they get upset that a Jewish rabbi, someone who is a teacher like themselves, is eating with tax collectors and sinners. And I think it's interesting that they don't ask this to Jesus, they ask it to his disciples. I imagine there's a lot of murmuring, a lot of things going around, and they didn't want to go directly to Jesus, so they asked the disciples. And don't you just feel like there's so much more to what they're saying than what they actually say here? You know, why are you with those people? Why aren't you doing more than simply eating with them? Why aren't you calling them out for their behavior? Aren't you concerned with your own reputation if other people see you eating in this house, at this party, with these people? Aren't you concerned for God's holiness? I mean, can you imagine being with these people? Aren't you concerned about how God's holiness might be affected, as if we can affect God's holiness? You know, what these religious leaders are saying, I think, by their nonverbal communication and by their verbal communication is, you know, that they want to be separate from these people. And what they're saying to me is that, to these people, is that you need to be like us before we can belong together with you. In order for community to occur, in order for a relationship to be formed, you've got to change. You've got to be like us. You've got to like the things that we like and be about the things that we're about. And I think about how in this time of just church skepticism, when a small percentage of millennials and the younger generation compared to the previous generations are actually receptive toward coming into a church or being a part of a church, what is our approach? And sometimes can it be more resembling more like the Pharisees or more like Christ? And I mentioned several times about the times we live in, because I just think it's important for how we understand ourselves as a church. Because again, there was a time when you could have fantastic, great events and people would simply come to it. But as our values have shifted as a society, I think something more is going to take place. And I think, when I think about our church here, when was the last time that you talked with someone who is skeptical about faith? When was the last time you got to know someone who was not a believer at all? When was the last time you went out and went to a party or something like this with someone who had nothing to do with Christianity but simply was having a party for the sake of it? I think a lot of times we can make a mistake when it comes to talking with people about Jesus. I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to think about ways that we can make them a Christian. We think about ourselves in terms of as a salesman, you know. What angle can I approach this person so that they would, you know, come to Christ? And I think one of the things that Jesus is teaching us here is that maybe we need to be less concerned about what we say, at least in the beginning, and more concerned about loving people with no strings attached. Maybe we need to be more concerned about the ways in which we are going into the world and living with people in the world at first before we ever think about the ways and the angles in which we try to approach people. Because as one of the things we learn through our Acts text is, who does the converting? One of the things I love about that text in Acts is that Paul takes time, spends a few days in the city. He gets a lay of the land. He gets to know what's going on. He discovers there's a place over here where people are praying. There's some sort of curiousness about God going on. When he goes over there and he takes time with those people and he shares about Christ, it says that the Lord opened up Lydia's heart and she was changed. That Paul was simply the mechanism or the method through which that happened. But the Lord opened up her heart. What if we decided to spend more time creating more space in our lives and more space where people might be willing to feel like they belong with us, and trusted that through doing that process that God would open up avenues to share our faith with them? And I think this is key, that Christians concentrate more on making people feel like they belonged than they need to become like us. I think that will help so much. And I think this is key, that we think about, how should Christians belong with people in the world? What does that look like? Do the people around us experience the goodness of the good news? Outwardly, I think we have to go into the world and look and act like Christ. We have to leave our comfortable places and go into our neighbors' lives, serving them, making time for them, listening to them with no agenda other than getting to know them. And being filled with grace and not judgment about their life and their life choices. We have to be committed to being people that are willing to leave our comfort. I love to eat by myself or with just my family in my home. You know, I don't have people over a lot of times, or I get nervous sometimes when people invite me over to their house, especially if I don't know them that well. But you know what? Maybe it's important that I leave my place of comfort so that we can encounter other people in their worlds and in their settings. And then as we do that, we can be ready to share about Christ if that interest is expressed. I think it requires that we go into the world believing and having faith that as we do so, that God is going to change hearts, that God is going to be opening up people to us as they experience what that good news looks like. I think those are the things that draw people toward the Lord and give God opportunities to open the hearts to people. Because when I think about what the good news is, when I think about Jesus, I think about how It is precisely that God became like us and made it and came and lived among us and made us feel like we belonged so that we could then become like him. Jesus came into Matthew's life and he became like him. He traveled and did what he did. He went and ate at a party with him. He gathered him around. He listened to him. He made him feel like he belonged with him. And then over time we find out that Matthew became one of the 12 disciples. He became like Christ, but only because Christ made him feel like he belonged first. As a church, I want us to be thinking and remembering about how we belong with the Lord because the Lord came and belonged with us first. And maybe there's a little bit of a Pharisee within us saying that, why would God want to be with me? Maybe there's some voice within you that is still struggling to believe that you are worthy enough for God to want to spend his life with you. Worthy that you are struggling with the fact that God might think you're worthy enough to give his life for and belong with you. And my friends, the good news is that Jesus gave his life for us so that you would know that you are worthy, that Jesus wants you to belong with him. And so I think about for us as a church, are we going to value belonging with people before they ever become like us? I hope that this can be a place where we make it so that people can belong with us, so that we can listen to them, so that we can get to know them, even without an agenda. And as they feel comfortable, trust that God's going to stir up a little divine curiosity within their hearts. So then they might want to say, I want to experience and have what you have. And I think as we do that, we will experience the good news of the kingdom in people's lives. Let's pray. Father, as we come and as we look at your word this morning, as we come and read about how, God, you spent time getting to know people. You left your place of comfort to go get invested in people's lives. God, we are reminded about how you have come and made us feel and make us know that we belong with you. That path was only open because you gave your life for us on the cross. God, that if there is any part of us that is struggling this morning to feel like we belong with you, God, I pray that you would make that fall away as we remember, God, that you have made the way to be with you. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for making us feel welcome. God, we just want to thank you for loving us first, for claiming our hearts, and then changing us from the inside out. God, may we go into the world doing the same for those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, as we get ready to sing our final hymn, I want to challenge you all this week to think about ways in which you can go and just simply be with people. Leave your comfort zones, go into their lives, and show them that you belong with them and they belong with you. Love them without any strings attached. Serve them as Christ served us. Go and listen to them when they have things that they want to share about. One of the things I think about is sometimes I try to time myself to see how fast I can get in the grocery store and out of the grocery store. But maybe I need to slow down a little bit so that I can encounter some people and find ways in which they might belong with me. In fact, I did that this past week, and I met a lady who has a really incredible story. And she gave me her number and wants me to call her, and it's going to be great. I'm excited to get to know her a little bit more. Find ways in which you can go into the world as Christ went into the world and love them. And let us remember that just as the Lord opened up Lydia's heart through some divine curiosity, God is faithful and will do the same. Let us worship the Lord.